Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to roll?
That's right. Yeah, all set.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. It's related to boxing. We'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call or ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get started with the action, I guess, this week. Habib, DAZN, baby. DAZN put the fight of the week on. Unfortunately, the fight of the week, Clarissa Shields. It was supposed to be, who was she supposed to fight against? Savannah Marshall?
Hannah Gabriels.
Who cares? All right, Hannah Gabriels, really? All right, yeah, great. Instead, she ended up fighting some chick named Marcela Cornejo. 10 rounds, babe, 10. 10 rounds for the undisputed middleweight championship, babe. 10, by the way. I don't know. Oscar Prince, I agree. Joe Habib is a casual. I'm putting that on the screen right now. Casual Beeb, son. That's what I'm... That's how we're rolling today. Clarissa Shields retains the undisputed middleweight championship by boxing for 20 minutes. There you go. Am I wrong? Am I wrong here?
I had about as much anticipation for this fight as I do when I have to get my colonoscopy every 5 years. I mean...
Listen, man.
No offense.
Even if it was Savannah Marshall or Hannah Gabriels or whoever the other chick was who pulled out of this for, I think it was Vada got her or something like that. Who cares? Anyway, yeah, so they bring in this other girl in Detroit. Say what you want about Clarissa Shields. She packed the house, over 11,000 there to watch her. That is huge. That's a bigger number. I will tell you this. That is a bigger number than Adrian Broner pulled here in Ohio. That I can tell you. That I know for a fact. That's a big deal.
Some people
in Detroit. Detroit's a big fight town, man. Kronk Jim, that's where it all originated. Tommy Hearns, everybody, man. That's where it all originated. Detroit is a huge fight town. And listen, they pay homage to their fighters. Hometown girl, and they came out to see her. So you can't really knock that. But I can knock the fight, though, right? I can knock the fight. 10 rounds.
Sure.
For the undisputed middleweight title. B, does that sound wrong to you? 10 rounds for the undisputed middleweight title? How about this? Before you even answer that, how about just 2-minute rounds? We're just going to fight 20 minutes and then crown a new champ. They fight longer in the UFC. They fight 25 minutes there. 20 minutes, and then we are going to crown a brand new champ. B, you're on the treadmill longer for 20 minutes, right?
Okay, I'm on there for 2 hours.
Right, all right. So there you go. That's a championship mentality right there. Yeah. I'm on for about maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe max, you know. But it starts going faster. I start huffing and puffing, you know. I got to get on. But I'm not trying to fight for the championship of the world now, right?
I hate to even throw more shade on the whole event, but I'm hearing that there really wasn't 11,000 people there. That was misinformation. I'm also hearing that the tickets that were purchased, a lot of people that were there, the tickets were given away. So I'm hearing a lot of negative things about this event.
Now, come on, man. Now, look.
This isn't for me. I'm just hearing things.
This is misogyny at its finest, Beeb. You trying to, like, it's one thing for me to make fun of her in the fight and everything like that. It's another thing for you to call out and say she didn't sell that many tickets. I mean, Beeb, I mean, misogynistic party of one here? I mean, come on.
I don't make the news. I just report it.
Yeah, is that right? I don't know. I'm just saying, Beeb, it sounds suspect. It sounds suspect. I mean, it's Tony said it didn't take Eric long. I'm just saying, Steve, I'm just saying, look, 20 minutes to crown an undisputed champion, no knockout. By the way, she's never had a knockout professionally. This is your undisputed champion, right? This is the one you're standing behind? 10 rounds?
I think she has like two knockouts.
She doesn't have any knockouts, I don't believe. Look her up. Fox Records.
Double check. I thought she had two.
I don't think she has any.
Go to the production truck and ask them.
Production truck.
Like, did you have the production truck?
No KOs, B.
Yes, no KOs.
I apologize. She has two KOs.
Yes, two, right? I knew she had
two. Who does she fight? Who does she fight for those two KOs?
I don't know.
Which front desk clerk, which grocery clerk did she knock out to get those two knockouts?
Now you're going too far now. Come on.
What secretary did she knock out to get those two knockouts?
Who's under contract to break down the fights? I'm going to break down this fight. So obviously, Mrs. Corhanyo, how do you pronounce her name?
Who cares? You're never going to hear from her again. Miss. Just call her Miss. You're never going to hear from her again. Cornejo.
Cornejo, okay. Cornejo.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Mrs. Cornejo. So apparently, Mrs. Cornejo.
Last week.
we gotta move on. Sometimes we just got to move on. We don't have to dwell on things. So Mrs. Cornejo was severely overmatched here. And Clarissa Shields was hitting her with everything but the kitchen sink in this fight. Apparently, you know, she's trying to go for the knockout. But it's one thing trying to go for the knockout, and there's another thing actually setting it up and giving yourself the best opportunity to get the knockout. And in this fight, Clarissa Shields was a little bit right-hand happy, and she was winging her shots, throwing a lot of looping, clubbing shots. And when you throw those types of shots, you're not always getting full leverage on it. So a lot of times when I do see her get a little bit overexcited in there, she's throwing a lot of arm shots. And in this fight, I thought she just threw a lot of arm shots. I don't think she was really getting full extension on it because she was, like I said, she was doing a lot of flailing in there because she was a little bit over-anxious. And that's what happens sometimes when you get over-anxious. The technique goes out the window. We've seen Wilder when he gets over-anxious, same thing. It's not going to the body at all. And, you know, she's got to figure it out, man. She's got to figure it out.
Huh? Are you still talking about Clarissa? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
She's got to figure it out, man. She's got to figure it out.
Nobody cares about Clarissa Shields. I'm going to clue you in on something, babe. Nobody cares about women's boxing either. You know why? Because they're over there talking about undisputed champion. Undisputed, right? For 20 minutes. Decision, 20 minutes. Notorious says even Ebony Bridges probably has more KOs than the real GOAT. She does. She has four. I just looked it up. Bridges has four knockouts, and her OnlyFans page is worth the money. Let me tell you what. Yeah. Let me tell you what. You can tell her to do anything there.
But she's gotta start, you know, really sitting down on these shots. She's gotta stop flailing. She's gotta relax in there. She can't force these knockouts.
Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think she just doesn't sit down on her punches?
I think she doesn't, and I think she's trying to throw her combinations too fast. Maybe if she took a little bit of the speed off her shots and actually sat down, you don't have to throw every punch, you know, with full intensity, but you got to be able to mix one or two hard ones in there. You know, so if she has to slow down or cut back on the volume, and cut back on the quantity and add some quality to the shots, maybe she'll be more successful in there. You know, so.
I agree with Notorious on this. The worst type of boxer to watch is a big, strong fighter with no power. That's it. She doesn't want to get hit. Do you think it's that? She doesn't want to get hit? She throws a billion punches in a round. I mean, she throws a ton of punches.
Yeah, maybe she's so concerned with defense that when she's throwing the shot, she's pulling it right back instead of really trying to punch through the target. Sometimes when you're overly concerned, and again, we don't – obviously you have to be defensively responsible there. But when you're – is there such a thing as overly defensively responsible? Some fighters have been accused of it, right? You know, fighters that don't really have that killer instinct in there? Is she one of those fighters that just doesn't have that seek and destroy killer instinct in there? Could be.
Is she a fighter anybody wants to see? Honestly, if you have to sit down and watch one of these fights.
A lot of people are heavily critical of her, and that's why she gets so angry and so defensive, and I understand it. She does have all the accolades in the world, but unfortunately, and I try to say this as respectfully as I can, she doesn't have any memorable fights. Now, that Savannah Marshall fight was a pretty good fight. I thought Savannah
compared to what? All of her other fights?
I guess you have to compare it to the other ones.
Right. They suck. Dwayne this time says, I'm just going to say it. I think most of women's boxing is boring. I think if they fought full time and rounds, they might get more KOs. I do agree with the rounds and KOs.
You
got it. Listen, man, you want more excitement, you got to straighten out the round. I remember Calix boxing. Me and Calix went around about this because he said, don't you think because it's two-minute rounds, they pack more action into it? I guess, and there is something to be said for that. I understand. But there are also more knockouts in three-minute rounds. There just is. There's more time to finish. There's more time to set up. There's more time to finish. Listen, they can do it. The girls can fight three-minute rounds. They can go 12 rounds. There's no reason to dumb this down. None.
Even if you don't want to go the full 12, at least go 3 minutes.
Start somewhere. They can go the full 12. There's nothing saying they can't do the full 12. Anaerobically, they're just the same. You know what I mean? There's no reason they can't go that full 12.
Yeah.
None. And there's no reason they can't go 3 minutes.
The MMA women, they're fighting 25 minutes.
5-minute rounds, three rounds, 5 minutes, boom. That's why we have no problem watching it. That's why I have no problem watching it. And those girls can fight. And these girls can fight, too.
And they get knockouts, too.
Yeah.
And they get knockouts in women's MMA.
Listen, man, you have to implement the same rules as the men. It's stupid. It's just there's no reason not to. And who was the one chick we had on the show who said, she was like, I'm not getting paid for three-minute rounds, so I don't want to go for three-minute rounds.
Listen. They all said that. All of them said that.
Listen, sister, if you want to get paid, you want to be taken seriously, you step up to the table. You start doing what we do. Doing what the big boys do, son.
Was that Christina Hammer that said that to us?
No. She got me on Showtime, so no, that was not her. I respect her. Isn't she the one you asked out? Isn't she the one you tried to ask out?
That's not true.
Come on, man. You did. You tried to flirt with her online. You just suspended your professionalism and then wanted to ask her out.
I don't remember some of the other women we had on here.
Who was that one chicken head you had on here, man?
The blonde girl?
Yeah.
Shayna Fabiano.
Yeah.
Everett. Yeah.
The one who was too tired to come on the show? The one who was too tired to come on the show, that one?
No, not that one. She came on.
I'm just saying.
She came on. What are you doing, man?
Just saying.
I have the footage. She had her makeup. She had her hair done and makeup on and everything for the beef. Stop.
Hey.
Please.
I'm just saying. I.M. Dwayne says, Clarissa Shields' personality is the main reason people don't like her. More obnoxious but half as witty as Adrian Broner. Look, and there's something to that. Listen, there is something to that. That's good stuff, though. That's good. She's got a personality. That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. We want to see her. We're going to tune in. We're going to see if she, she gets beat, if she, she wins, she loses. That means people want to see her. The fact that you hate her is good. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing, having a bad personality or having a personality nobody likes. That's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
The fact is, nobody wants to watch her fight. I'd rather watch her watch a fight than to watch her fight. 2 minutes, you're going to tell me the undisputed champion, Beeb, is going to be crowned in 20 minutes? Is that what I'm understanding here? That's your level right there? Why don't I just watch Save Soccer while I'm at it instead of the professionals?
You know what the most ironic thing about it is, too, if you think about it? When they're in the amateurs, they're fighting 3 minutes. And then when they go to the pros, they're fighting less minutes in a round than
right.
they do in the amateurs.
Right. Makes
so when
sense.
They turn, when they turn pro and they're fighting four-minute rounds.
We're going to step it
that's
back.
Eight. When they turn pro and they're fighting four-minute rounds, that's 8 minutes, right? So then when they then when they're in the amateurs, they're fighting three-minute rounds.
Look at the honey dip already coming after the bee.
Oh, God.
I love when you chase me.
That's horrible. Come on. Please.
Hey, this might be Hammer. This might be Hammer talking to you. You know what I mean?
That ain't Hammer. That ain't Hammer.
How do you know? I don't know that. No, she's a fan. You know, she likes what the Beeb can do.
Please. I don't like putting the info out there. But a kiss and tell type guy. Come on.
Not what I heard.
Christina's a nice young lady.
Yes, she is. Let me tell you that. She certainly is. So, man, yeah, I didn't watch the fight. I didn't watch the card. Just wasn't interested. I couldn't even tell you the scores. I know they were lopsided. I know I read the scores. I know she won every round. Listen, I could care less. I don't even know if you guys could care less, but I know I could care less. Until you give me something to care about with this stuff, 3 minute rounds, full 12, why am I watching it? Why am I watching it?
Need some motivation.
I need some motivation. Maybe one of those boxer girls, you know what I'm saying, could come over. You know what I mean? Motivate me. You know what I'm saying, Beeb? Maybe you can go to Beeb's house. Motivate him. You know what I'm saying? Show up with your, you know, your trunks on, your gloves on.
Please, just
oiled up. You know what I'm saying?
He's going too far now. He's going too far.
I'm just saying.
It's a family show, please.
Saying. Yeah, not naked. Yeah, I know what he wants. You know. Of course not. Family show, babe. Come on. Get your head
family
out of the
show,
gutter,
please.
Will you, please?
A family
for
show.
For 1 minute. 1 minute out of every Sunday is all I ask from you. And you continuously let me down. Don't understand why. Don't understand it. All right, babe, let's go to the upcoming events since you just trashed Clarissa Shields all over the place. And thank you for that. And women's boxing as a whole, that's what bothers me, babe. You don't just trash one person. You trash the entire sport as a whole. Hope you sleep well tonight. I hope you do. Let me tell you something that doesn't suck. Let me tell you about a pay-per-view this weekend you need to watch. And let me tell you about the biggest fight this year. You think it's Tank Garcia? No. You think it's Spence Crawford? Is it Crawford? Crawford's the other guy he's fighting, I guess? That guy? No. Biggest fight, pay-per-view from Florida, June 9th. Adrian Broner versus Bill Hutchinson, 10 rounds welterweights. Talk to me, B. Talk to me. Bill Hutchinson. Dangerous Bill Hutchinson. One of the most dangerous welterweights, I will tell you this, on the planet Earth, Bill Hutchinson is going to step in the ring with Cincinnati's own Adrian Broner. I'm actually worried for Broner in this fight. Now, I've seen him training. I know he's in good shape, but we're talking about Bill Hutchinson, son.
I'm worried thinking about if he's going to show up or not. That's what I'm worried about.
Which one, Broner or Hutchinson?
Broner.
This fight is on pay-per-view, son. Pay-per-view.
Okay.
Marinate on that. Pay-per-view.
How much?
I don't know. I don't care because I'm not buying it. If anybody knows how much, let me know. Probably $39. It's on King Vision. Remember King Vision?
King Vision. Jesus Christ.
Guillermo Rigondeaux is on that undercard against Julian Aristul, 10 rounds, bantamweight. I didn't even know Guillermo was still fighting. And that's about the only real name I recognize. Ahmed Elbialy's on there against Rodolfo Gomez, light heavyweights. Yeah, I don't know. AB avoiding bill payments. They had to put this on pay-per-view, and you guys know exactly why they had to put this on pay-per-view. B, why don't you tell them?
Because no one's buying the rights.
No one's picking it up, son. No one's buying the right
seat for this fight.
The Zone ain't picking it up.
Nobody.
ESPN ain't picking it up.
Discovery Channel won't even pick up the right seat for this one.
Discovery Channel, who's got the 90 Day Fiance on there, is like, yeah, it's kind of lowbrow for us here. I don't know.
Got to keep it a buck.
If, stupid. He said, Louis says, if Bonner was fighting in my garden, I'd close the curtains.
Guy's a horrible man. The guy's going to make a living.
Man.
Jesus.
That's rough, man.
Let the guy eat.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's on pay-per-view, on King Vision pay-per-view, wherever it's located. I don't know. Miami, Florida, pay-per-view, June 9th. Knock yourself out. June 10th in New York. Why is this on at 5:15? Did you notice this? 5:15 on ESPN, ESPN Plus. Josh Taylor, the fight of the week here. Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez. 12 rounds.
Yeah, they're probably showing a lot of the undercard bouts.
That'd be nice. Yeah. I bet it's on ESPN Plus or whatever, and then 8 o'clock maybe the main events.
Yeah.
12 rounds for Taylor's WBO junior welterweight title. If you remember, he was undisputed, and he let all those go to try to chase Catterall. Didn't work out. So Xander Zayas on the undercard versus Ronald Cruz, 8 rounds, junior middleweights. Xander Zayas is a scary dude, man.
Yeah.
That is a scary dude. That guy looks like a model. And the way he fights, he is so tough, man. He's a good, good fighter, man. I'm waiting to see. He's got something, doesn't he? He really does.
Yeah.
I think he really does, man. I think he's one of those guys you really got to keep your eye out for. When you talk about prospects of the year, stuff like that, that guy's got to be included in your conversation.
Yeah.
Jermaine Ortiz versus Humberto Galindo, 10 rounds, lightweights. And Robinson Canseco is on the undercard. Let's see here. That's about it. But they got about a good eight fights on that undercard. So, and usually they match make pretty good over there. So the fights will be, you may not have heard of the names, but the fights should be pretty good.
Yeah.
Fights are usually pretty good.
Usually solid cards.
Yeah. Let's see here. June 10th. In London, on the Zone, Sonny Edwards versus Andres Campos, 10 rounds for Edwards' IBF flyweight title. By the way, you're paying for this. This is the fight you're paying for on the Zone, right? And then some chick fight underneath that. There's another chick fight underneath that. The two co-main events are chick fights. What are we doing?
Please.
What are we doing?
Please.
Here?
Show some decorum.
I did. What did you? I could have just not mentioned them.
These are young ladies. They're not chicks. Come on. Please.
Oh, my God. Lois, where's Lois at? Come on.
She's out with her friends tonight, please.
Yeah. She's right there watching you. That's why you're on your best behavior. I'll tell you that right now. Now, this is a good one. On the Zone, June 10th from Ontario, California. Jaime Munguia versus Sergey Derevchenko, 12 rounds middleweights. That's a good one. Shane Mosley Jr. versus Demetrius Ballard, 10 rounds middleweights. Let's see here. Yeah, and those are the two big ones on there. But I'll tell you, man, that's a good fight. Who do you like in that one?
Oh, I like Munguia.
You think so?
Yeah, I like Munguia in that fight. It'll be a tough one, though, because Derevchenko can fight pretty well.
I like Derevchenko a lot, man. Yeah, I like Derevchenko.
You think he'd pull the upset?
I think he might be able to. I don't know if I'd pick him to pull the upset, but I think he might be able to. I'm not confident in Munguia. I'm just not. I've never been sold on Munguia.
Wow. I don't know, man. Derevchenko is a really good grinder on the inside. He's a very good inside fighter.
Yeah.
But Munguia can scrap a little bit up close too. I don't know, man. I think Munguia will win though. I think his work rate, I think the power, he
does have a lot of power. He's really
got some power. He's got a good
power
work
guy. Yeah, he's a power guy, man.
Got a good jab when he wants to use it.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good fight, man. I think it's a really good fight.
I think it's a good fight.
All right. Let's break this Taylor-Lopez fight down, man. Teofimo Lopez versus Josh Taylor, Beeb. if this was right after the Lomachenko fight, I think Teofimo would be a huge favorite. But since that win, man, Lopez hasn't looked the same. He was beat by Kambosos. He looked okay against Campos. He knocked him out, but there was something missing there. And then he won a split decision over Sandor Martin, right? This is a guy he should have dog-walked at 140, all right? Even at the end of the fight, the cameras were on him, and he mentioned this also when the face-off they had. He said he looked at his corner. He says, man, do I still got it? He's trying to, and then he was trying to say, no, I knew the cameras were there. I'm real media savvy, blah, blah. No, you're not, son. That's not a thing you say. He was trying to get people to talk about him. No.
That wasn't in the script.
No, that was not in the script, son.
Was not in the script.
Not in the script at all. Josh Taylor has looked good. Even in his last fight against Catterall, listen, I thought he won fairly easy. I've always thought he won that fight fairly easy. To me, there was no controversy at all. To everyone else around me, though, apparently there's a controversy. So I got to take that with, my scorecard and say, hey, man, maybe I got to go back and take a look at it. But I always thought that he won that fight 8-4. I didn't think it was close. I didn't think it was dramatic. I didn't think there was anything off-kilter.
What made the fight kind of sketchy was you had the points taken away from both fighters. I think it was in the 10th round. You had a point taken away from Catterall. Then in the 11th, you had a point taken away from Taylor. Then you had the knockdown in the second.
Which I thought the point taken away from Taylor was nonsense.
It was ridiculous. So I had Taylor winning 7 of those 12 rounds. But because of the knockdown and the points that were taken away, I had him losing 113 and 112. I thought it was a razor close fight. I know you disagree.
Yeah.
But the cries of robbery were mind-boggling to me because, I just thought it was a close fight. And I thought, to his credit, Taylor came on late in that fight. He kind of was making it a rough-and-tumble fight. He was getting up close. He was bodying Catterall a lot. He was nudging him. You know, he was kind of give him that little bump, and then he would punch off of that little bump that he would give him. You know, he just kept knocking him off rhythm, and he was roughing him up a little bit, and he was forcing him back in the second half of that fight, in my opinion. But if the points weren't taken away, I probably would have ended up scoring it a draw because I had it 7-5, and then Catterall had that knockdown in the round two. So if the referee wasn't so quick to take those points away, it would have been a draw on my card. But because the points were taken away and he had the knockdown, it was 113-112. But I would argue that Taylor looked a lot better against Catterall than Teofimo looked against Kambosos.
Sandor Martin.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And to his credit, no excuses, but Taylor said that I underestimated him a little bit. He owned it. So.
I just want to interrupt real quick. I just want to kind of change gears before we get back to what we were talking about. From Georgie, as the call last week, he let us know. This is the information he's given us. Blessings to the tribe. My girl passed away. I'm getting some funds together, and then he gives a Cash App. Anything the tribe can do will be appreciated. Thanks. Cash App. Let's see here. $PORGEDJ. There you go. All right, so we'll be flashing this up. We'll flash this up again and everything. But if you guys want to donate to Georgie's cause and help him out here because he's going through a rough time, Cash App, $ PORGEDJ, PORGEDJ, PORGIEDJ. There you go. So absolutely. Absolutely, buddy. So let's break this down, B. Let's talk about speed first. To me, this is pretty clear, man. Tio is quick. Nothing is going to change that. I had no amount of mental state or whatever is going to change that. He's definitely the faster fighter here. He's faster on his hands. He's faster with his feet. I think he's just faster, period. Him going up in weight isn't going to change that. So,
what about you?
Feet, but I think that speed sometimes gets nullified when he's loading up with shots and he's throwing one punch at a time.
Sure.
You know? Sure. So when he's right, yeah, that speed's a factor. But, yeah, you would think hand speed, foot speed, we've seen him. He's very explosive and quick, without question. We'd have to edge that. But once again, Taylor's no slouch either. But yeah, Taylor, I would say that Theo is quicker. I would edge him in the speed department.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. Power. To me, Teofimo is more explosive, but his power really hasn't carried to 140. I think my pick is Taylor. He's been at this weight. He's undisputed. He was undisputed at this weight. I got to go with Taylor on the power, but Teofimo is explosive. Now, it doesn't seem to me that his power is carried, but, you know, he's only had two fights there too.
I'm gonna give this one a push.
Yeah.
I'll give this one a push.
I don't blame you.
They both have 13 knockouts. So.
Yeah. Boxing ability. Josh Taylor, to me, has fought a superior opposition in this weight class. I think he's a better boxer, especially since Tio is either on or he's not on. I don't know what Tio is going to show up. So I'm going to edge that to Taylor.
Yeah, I'm going to say Taylor's more well-rounded as well. I think he's more well-rounded. I think what separates him from Tio is I think he's a much better inside fighter than Teofimo Lopez, and I think he's a better counterpuncher than Teofimo Lopez.
Yeah.
I think he has more weapons.
This next one is an interesting one because it's one I've never put up before, but it's one that I think counts in this fight, and that's the corner. Okay. Josh Taylor just got he fired Ben Davidson, got a new trainer. We don't know how that's going to work out. You know what I mean? And for an undefeated, it was weird that an undefeated fighter fired his trainer. That's an odd move to me, but whatever. Teofimo, of course, has his father, who I think, to me, complete liability. He offers up no advice, no good advice, no sound advice, no sound instruction. He didn't in the Kambosos fight. He didn't in the Martin fight. He didn't in the Campos fight. He's a liability in that corner. So even though this is their first time working together, my edge has to go to Taylor in this. As long as if Tio would have switched trainers or added trainers, kept his father in there, made an addition, you know, what do you do? You know, I mean, this guy, again, every fight that he's looked terrible in, every fight that he's looked, you know, he's gotten no real advice when he's under that pressure. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a no-brainer. I think Josh Taylor is more disciplined, and I know this is going to be a new trainer for him, but...
Joe McNally, by the way, is the...
And Joe McNally is a well-renowned trainer over you know, in the UK circles. But with all due respect, I think anything's better than Tio Sr. at this point, if you're going to compare corners. Yeah, unless you have, you know... Someone from the streets or something, just picking someone up off the local corner somewhere. I think he's going to be better than Tio's dad at this point.
Centurion said Tio's problem is mental and his trainer sucks. Yeah, that's a big hill to climb there.
I've never been a big fan of Tio Senior as a trainer.
No, I haven't either. I haven't either. As an interview, he's great. He could talk forever, but as a trainer. Yeah. Not so much. The X factor. To me, anytime Tio fights, the X factor is always his mental state. Sometimes he's on, sometimes he's not. He always has some drama going on outside the ring. You know, he went through a divorce. There's some problems with his kid there, or something like that. She's not letting him see him. Whatever the scuttlebutt is there, I don't know. I don't care. I just know there's issues. And I guarantee in Taylor's corner, he's got issues. They are very minimal.
And it seems like that Tio's crying out for help because he's talking about a lot of this stuff in interviews, like, oh, my, you know, I'm dealing with a divorce. I haven't seen my kid.
Yeah.
And these are things that you keep private. You don't want to show vulnerability to your opponent. You don't want to let the public know that you're in a bad way. You keep that stuff to yourself. You want to talk about it after the fight, that's fine. But you're going into battle. When you're going into battle, you never show the enemy your weak spot.
Oh.
And he's doing that. And a lot of these things he says, I've always said this, when a person goes out of their way to tell you that, you know, I'm okay, I'm doing good, are you trying to convince me or are you trying to convince yourself?
Yes.
So there is something wrong here. And then when you kind of watch him recently in fights, particularly in the back half of the fight, the last six or seven rounds,
mm-hmm.
it's a different fight. And I think he goes into these fights so emotionally wound up and tight.
Yeah.
Right? And he fights with such desperation now. Like, he fights off of emotion and adrenaline now. He just does not seem relaxed in there anymore. And because of that, I'm seeing him fade down the stretch, particularly in that Sandor Martin fight. He faded down the stretch. The Kambosos fight, he faded down the stretch. And even for a short period of time in the Lomachenko fight, he lost 8, 9, 10, and 11,
mm-hmm.
right? So Josh Taylor comes on in that second half, and that's where he can take over in this fight. If all he has to do is win two or three of the first six, and if he comes on strong in the second half, and if Teo gives up a lot of rounds like he normally does, the fight's in the bag for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, thank you so much, D-Style. He said, jab the like for my brothers. Roundtable this Thursday on this channel, 7 p.m. Eastern. There you go. Beeb, tell them about the roundtables.
Roundtable every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, alternating weeks, 1 week on my channel, 1 week on D-Style Boxing's channel. We always have a wide array of panelists on there from all over the YouTube boxing community, all over the Twitter sphere. We have some of the best panelists in the game on the show every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Except for Joe Habib, though. I don't know. They got all this talent on the
channel. I'm a novice, man.
And then they got you. And I've seen it, and it's almost like they have to baby you through topics.
Yeah, I'm a layman, man. I'm a layman. I'm totally a charlatan. Full disclosure,
that's right. Philly Drew, thank you so much. He said, Taylor by KO, Teo mentally is checked out. Listen, did you watch that face-to-face what they had? Where,
I was embarrassed.
Josh Taylor just walked out at the end because he was going on and on or whatever.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. That was not good, man. I mean, the one thing I took away with that is that Josh Taylor looks ready to me. He looks ready to fight. He's angry. He's ready to fight. Teo just kind of looked clownish, man.
It's funny that Philly Drew just said that, because I was thinking that today. I was thinking about this fight today, and I was thinking about obviously coming on the show and talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to pick Josh Taylor by knockout, too.
Wow, okay.
I think he's going to stop him late.
Wow.
I'm picking Josh Taylor by knockout.
All right. Well, I tell you what, that brings me to the next factor. Who wins? I'm taking Josh Taylor by unanimous decision. I think Teo is out of his division. I think he's got the wrong weight. I think he's got the wrong trainer. I think he's got multiple issues there. I see Taylor winning an easy to score unanimous decision. But you still, like, you got to give Teo respect because he does have that X factor. You know what I mean? He's one of those guys that's unorthodox. When he is on, I mean, nobody touches that guy, but he hasn't been on for quite a while.
Yeah.
Let's look at the lines here, man. This shocked me. We just talked about this for the air. According to DraftKings, the money line for Taylor Lopez, Josh Taylor, -185. That's it. I expected him to be a lot bigger favorite. Teofimo Lopez, +145. The over-under, 10.5. And then, of course, -225. Wow, it is favored to go, well, it is favored to go over 225 or over 10.5. Under is +160, over is -225. Centurion is picking Theo. See here. And they got a bunch of prop bets and everything like that. But yeah, man, I tell you what, it's that was interesting to me. That line really stood out, which means that they really think, a lot of people really think Taylor lost that last fight. You know what I mean? He really, you know, a lot of people think, you know, lost a lot of faith in him losing that last fight, but he didn't lose. But I mean, a lot of people said, hey, he lost. More people, I think, something like this. More people said he lost than said he won.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I had him losing a narrow decision. But I didn't have a problem with him getting decisions. So, like, a lot of people were just saying that that was just such a bad robbery or whatever. I don't know. I just didn't see it that way. And even Andre, it's funny because Andre Ward, I think, had the identical scorecard you had. He had Taylor winning that fight with the same score you had. I think you had it 114-111 for Taylor.
Yeah.
So did Andre Ward. I had it for Catterall 113-112. I thought it was a razor close fight. But here's the thing. I don't expect Josh Taylor to be flat in this fight. I think this is going to be the best version of Josh Taylor. I think he realizes who he's in there with. He knows that he can't have an off performance against this guy because this guy can punch a little bit and this guy's quick. He knows this is a tougher assignment than the Catterall. Well, maybe it's not a tougher assignment than the Catterall, but it seems like he's approaching it as a tougher assignment because what was crazy was even in the build-up to that Catterall fight, he was very dismissive of Jack Catterall, very dismissive of him. So, you know, regardless of you can't really make excuses, I do think he took Jack Catterall a bit light, and I don't think he's taking Theo light at all. I don't think he's taking Theo lightly at all.
Yeah.
So,
guys, remember to hit the thumbs up. We got quite a few people watching. Make sure to hit those thumbs up. And also, too, if you guys want to Cash App Georgie, I got the Cash App right here at the very bottom of the screen. We'll leave that up for a few minutes, and then we'll also put it back on later on. Let's see here. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to New York first, 917. 917, you're live.
Eric and Joe Habib, I'm very happy to be on the greatest hour and a half of entertainment available on YouTube on Sunday night. This is Maestro. How's everybody doing?
Very good, very good. Hey, how about FCC, baby? Huh?
Yeah, you know, they were here in New York City. They were here in New York City, Eric. I told you before, I'm looking for a new football club to support because, you know, New York City FC sold out the Bronx, and they're now a Queens team. So I got love for Queens, but my borough is the Bronx. That's who I have to go with.
Mine too.
When it's all said and done. But let me ask you this, Eric, before I get into my kind of takes about what's going on in boxing right now. Am I going to see you in Toledo for the Jared Big Baby Anderson fight?
I don't know. I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, but I'm not 100% sure. Are you going to be there?
I am definitely going to be there. I've got
everywhere.
My credential confirmed already, and I just have to book my Spirit Airlines flight, so it's going to happen. It's a short flight
Maestro,
without
man.
A connection, so Spirit's going to do the trick. So let me ask you this, right? Because I've heard something similar to what you've pointed out, which is that people who make the argument that women's fights are more exciting when they are 2 minutes as opposed to 3 minutes. How far do we push this? Because what if I said that, you know, if you put two women in a ring for 30-second rounds and the ring was 10 feet by 10 feet, it would be more exciting. Therefore, that should be the sport of boxing and we should compare it to the men. I mean, I just don't understand that logic. But how far do we push this? Is it a minute and a half round, a minute round, a 30-second round?
Put them in there for 30
seconds,
whatever. Yeah, it's not more exciting. You'll never convince me that it's more exciting. It's just not. I don't care if it's two-minute rounds or 30-second rounds. It's not more exciting. It's not. So just go three-minute rounds.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I actually like Clarissa Shields. I've met Clarissa Shields. She's very friendly. You know, I especially have a lot of, you know, admiration for what she's been through and gone through and how far she's come as a professional and, you know, going to the Olympics and all of that. And I say that, though, because I really don't like the way her promotional team, you know, compares her to male fighters. Like, when I hear, well, no man has ever consecutively held undisputed titles in two weight divisions at the same time, I'm like,
yeah,
there's a reason for that, like, dumbass. Like, there's literally thousands of men fighting in these divisions, and the top tier of these divisions are reasonably competitive. I mean, there's a reason why super fights in female boxing always take place between women's in different divisions. It's because the depth of these divisions is very small. So, I mean, I just find that whole argument very disingenuous when they're like, oh, you know, she's been undisputed. Like, yeah, I get it. She's undisputed, but there's a reason there's no dispute. There's nobody else.
I was the best dodgeball player at Webster School when I was in middle school.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're in the you're taking it with the 8-year-olds and you're dominating the whole place. You know what I mean? Like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's disingenuous at best. And I just, honestly, I see it as almost a form of trolling at this point. It's like, you're getting me to watch these events by just saying outlandish shit and hoping that I guess I turn in. Look, I'm a boxing fan. I'll watch everything. But we really need to just do a better job at separating the men from the women when we talk about analyzing boxing. You know, I always draw this comparison. If I'm talking about the greatest basketball player this year in basketball and somebody brings up somebody from the WNBA, I wasn't talking about the WNBA. I was obviously talking about the NBA. So I don't know why you're trying to convince me that Katie Taylor against Amanda Serrano was fight of the year. It was a different sport.
Fight of the year? Come on.
Don't act like you didn't hear that, Eric.
Hey, come on.
You know damn well that you heard a lot of people trying to make that argument.
We shut that down. We shut those type of arguments down quick over here, man. Come on. Fight of the year.
So I was listening to the show while I was on hold, and I got to agree with my man Joe Habib. If I were had to bet on this fight taking place here in my hometown this weekend, I got to put money down on Taylor, especially with the odds that you just outlined.
Yeah.
I just don't see a way forward for Teofimo in this fight. You know, I asked – on my own channel today, shameless plug, check out Maestro A. You can just look at that on YouTube.
Absolutely.
What is it exactly that Sandor Martin does that Josh Taylor doesn't do better? They're both southpaws, right? But one of them has the better chin. One of them has the better experience. One of them has more power. One of them can fight on the inside, mid-range, and on the outside. One of them has been undisputed. I could go on and on and on. And I was in the big room at Madison Square Garden when Teofimo struggled to convincingly beat Sandor Martin. So I'm just not seeing the path to victory on that one. And that thing that dropped today, I'm sure you guys saw it. I did a live watch along of it. I'm talking about the YouTube show called Trash Talk. Between Lopez and Taylor, I mean, it was one of the funniest things I've seen in a while. And
yeah,
the contradictions Teofimo was giving were just hilarious. I mean, he's talking about Josh Taylor switching trainers and that his dad is the best trainer and his dad knows more about boxing than anybody. Excuse me, but he switched trainers. He used to have a Cuban coach. By the way, they treated him very bad. They fired him. Joey Gamache used to be his real coach. He fired Joey Gamache. We've seen how things have happened since that firing happened. So the fact that Josh Taylor's made a decision to switch trainers and kind of give himself a little bit of a fresh look here going into this fight, I don't really see it as a bad thing. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's a bad thing. It's weird that an undefeated guy gets rid of his trainer. That's the only thing I come out on is that it's weird. to me. I mean, you don't see this often where, you know, you've got an undefeated guy and he gets rid of his trainer.
Where
he did it before, though, when he hired Davidson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where would have a bigger effect when you look at a guy like Ryan Garcia, who's young and doesn't have the experience and hasn't really accomplished what Josh Taylor has accomplished? So in a fighter like Josh Taylor, I don't think it would mean as much as it would against someone who's less experienced and not as accomplished. So it could mean something, but I don't think it will make a difference. I don't think it'll be a hindrance at all in Josh Taylor's performance, in my opinion.
That's
no,
a good
I don't,
point.
I don't think
especially
it's going to be
Lions youth,
I don't think,
you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a hindrance at all. And the other thing that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about is the fact that Teofimo's spectacular performances really were all at lightweight. And since he's moved up to 140, you really got to ask yourself, has the power really followed him up 5 pounds?
Yeah.
You know, the quick twitchiness is kind of still there, but I mean. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Eric said that earlier. Eric said that earlier, that the power carry up. He doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like it has.
Okay, I must have missed that part. Apologies. Yeah, We saw him get dropped once by Sandor Martin. A lot of people felt they saw him get dropped twice by Sandor Martin.
Yeah, he went down twice in that fight.
And we didn't really see him have Sandor Martin hurt really in that fight, you know.
Never.
So people want to say, oh, you know, Maestro, but Josh Taylor doesn't like it to the body. Who the hell likes it to the body? And by the way, when they say that, they're referring to the fact that he got hit to the body by Progray, who's arguably the best, at least the second best fighter in the division, and he didn't go down from that body shot. He didn't get knocked out from that body shot. In fact, he came back in one round after that body shot. So, you know, I see Josh Taylor just handling business on Saturday night. And on that note, thank you guys for such a great show. It's a part of my Sunday evening. Shout out to 90 Day Fiance, because I watched that with my wife later on. It's one of her favorite shows. I heard you guys give that a plug. All right. So Succession is over. Succession is over now on HBO. So it's all about Ringside Reporter and 90 Day Fiance for the rest of tonight. So you guys have a great show. Check me out, another shameless plug, and you guys have a great week. Thank you.
You too, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, check out Maestro Show on his
Maestro
channel
Boxing.
On YouTube. Maestro Boxing on YouTube, man. He's always got good shows. Sometimes this guy over here makes an appearance on that show. Classes it up a little bit, huh, Beeb?
Correct.
Bring some class to the show, my friend Beeb. Wish he'd bring some class to this show. I mean, he just got me, and he just, like, oozes, you know. And
a lot of chemistry on this show.
A lot of I know, oozing and everything like that.
No.
Robert.
Hello,
alive.
Guys. How are you?
How's it going, Robert?
Good.
It's going good. First of all, guys.
The Celtics, by the way. But first of all, before we get into any boxing.
Oh, please, Eric, not you, too.
I want you to know that I think that you jinxed the Celtics last week.
Yeah, you jinxed us.
Well,
who do you got
okay.
winning the NBA?
That's
who,
okay.
Who do you got
Miami,
winning?
Miami's not winning either, so.
Oh, I thought you said Miami's going to win. I'm like, whoa.
No.
Man, that
Miami,
team is tough, man.
No, Denver's going to win their first title, man. I mean, that's just how it is. But has anybody given any serious thought about Teofimo Lopez maybe taking too many shots? The reason why I say this is because in between fights, his mental stability is, it seems like it's worse after every fight. I wonder if we've reached the stage in his career where he's already had too many fights and maybe have taken too many shots. Has anybody considered that?
I have not considered that. I will tell you this, though. You know, I don't – his mental – you know, listen, he was always a little off the rails. But before he was winning. He was always winning. So nobody really paid too much attention to it until he started losing. And then once he started losing, then you started, then all of a sudden this stuff gets magnified. And then he's talking about it between fights. Then he's talking about it on the segment that we watched earlier, that the Trash Talk segment or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, listen, I don't think he's got CTE. I don't think that there's anything wrong with him, like too many shots. I just think he's got, I mean, listen, his, you know, he had a tough time with his wife, you know, and his family. They never liked her. That was all publicized.
Yeah.
They never liked each other. They're divorced now. That's publicized. The fact that she's trying to keep the child away from, that's publicized. His dad talking trash, you know, that's all publicized. He's got a lot of problems.
Well,
and they
get
magnified by the media, you know.
Eric, that's my whole point. Normally, in most circumstances, you don't see this stuff publicized. And the family is publicizing everything. And I'm thinking if you're of sound mind and you know what you're doing for your boxing career, you would be able to take control of things and not allow things to be publicized. That's why I was thinking about this today while you guys are talking about this fight. Well, maybe he's just taken too many shots, and maybe he's got to be protected from himself, because let's face it, Josh Taylor is a different level than Teofimo Lopez. Lopez has never been on the top world level since he's beaten Vasily Lomachenko. He has not looked good since. He lost to Kambosos, and he's looked awful in his fights since then. And I see no path to victory for Lopez, considering what his mental state must be between fights. You have to really concentrate when you're in the ring with a guy like Josh Taylor. I think this is going to be an easy fight for Taylor, and it would not surprise me if this fight is not over like in 7 or 8 rounds, if not earlier.
Whoa, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because let's face it, guys. If two people are really serious about a fight and they're concentrating on a fight, they're in training, they're working on their craft, they're improving mistakes that they made, if they made mistakes in a previous fight, they're taking it seriously. And I don't think Lopez is of that mindset. And even though Josh Taylor has switched trainers, I don't care who Josh Taylor has, they know more about boxing than Teofimo's dad. It's no contest. I think this fight ends. I think this fight ends rather early. Especially if Taylor puts enough pressure on Lopez, I think he'll fold like a pretzel. I really do.
Let me ask you this, Robbie. Let me ask you this. So are you gonna go? Are you gonna go into Mrs. Herrick's allowance jar, and you're gonna bet on the stoppage proposition this weekend? What are you gonna do?
I don't have any extra money. But if I did, that's exactly how I would do it. I think this is gonna end in a knockout. I don't think it's going the distance.
Wow.
I really don't.
I don't think it's going the distance. I think he's gonna stop him too.
You get good odds for that. I think I'll check him in a minute. But
you know what?
Boxing, thank you so much. He says, does Robbie think Shields will ever lose to a Mexican?
I don't
want
to.
Not my question.
Look.
He doesn't want to talk about Mexicans now.
let's put it this way. I'll take women's boxing seriously when they fight under the same rules as the men. Period. Case closed.
Wow. Robert, did you watch the fight yesterday?
Yes, I did. And before I get out of here, I like the Derevyanchenko matchup with Munguia. And, Eric, I think you're right. I think Munguia will win, but I think it's going to – you know, everybody's been complaining about this guy. He's been getting one pushover after another. I don't think we're going to be able to say that after Saturday night. I think it will be his toughest fight to date.
I think it's going to be a good one. I do.
Yeah.
I think Munguia wins, but, man, I don't think it's easy. I'll tell you that.
No, because look at the trouble that Derevyanchenko gave Triple G. And remember, I believe this is his first fight at 168. So that might make a difference, too.
I thought Divinchenko beat Triple G.
I did too.
I did too.
I think we all did. I think we all did.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we all had him winning that fight. So.
Yep.
All right, Robert, we're gonna get rolling. We'll keep you on. Let me see if I can get up to DraftKings real quick here.
Oh. You know what's funny, Eric? A lot of people are saying that Taylor's going to win this fight. I wonder if those odds are going to widen as the fight gets closer.
I would think, typically around the weigh-in is when you see the money start to come in, the serious money, and then you see the odds switching. If they're going to switch, they're going to switch right around that 24 hours of the weigh-in. You know what I mean? Let's see here. So Josh Taylor by KO, TKO, or DQ plus 250.
That's not high. 250?
That means what? You put a $10 bet on it, you're getting 35 back.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not that wide, though. I thought the odds would be greater for that.
Give you better interest in the bank, you know what I'm saying? I mean, let's bet this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. What is this? Centurion said, I'd rather watch Clarissa Shields fights than watch women's soccer or football. You're crazy, man. Women's soccer is good, man. Matt, I like the U.S. women's team. I don't like the NWSL or whatever they call it. All right, we're all in agreement. Josh Taylor should win pretty easy over Teofimo. There you go. Go. All right, some other news and rumors here. Let's start out with this, Beeb. Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya. This is Oscar just can't get out of his own way, man. I hate Oscar De La Hoya. I tell you what, man. Garcia was on a video, and I don't know if – I think you probably saw this video. I'm sure you saw this video where he was talking to somebody at a gym, and he was saying that nobody was there for him after the Tank fight. And he was right, man. I mean, De La Hoya didn't show up. Nobody showed up. He was going on and saying about how – Tank's people actually treated him better than his own camp did. You know, he had a mole in his camp and everything like that and, you know, all that other good stuff, you know. So De La Hoya took to social media and said that Garcia was crying about the whole thing and he's trying to get him paid. All this while posting a picture with Rolly Romero. He's got his hands around Rolly Romero, did a selfie with him, a potential opponent for Ryan Garcia. Then De La Hoya said, of course, he's not going to fight over social media. You know, is PBC and Top Rank the only promoters who act professional with their fighters? I mean, really. You never see Bob Arum out in the media. You never see him trashing a fighter. You never see PBC doing it either. And they can talk about PBC all they want. You never see anybody from PBC trashing their fighters. Matchroom, we've seen Eddie Hearn do it. We've seen Eddie Hearn do it recently. De La Hoya does it constantly. What gives here, man?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, De La Hoya, he's got some issues, bro. It's very obvious that De La Hoya is not 100% all there. He needs help. And I don't know how much longer this whole Garcia-De La Hoya arrangement's going to last. I don't know how many more fights Ryan's got left on his contract. I don't know if Ryan has the ability to buy himself out. He just got a huge payday. So I don't know what the future's going to hold, but if you think about it, who do they have for him over there at 140?
Nobody.
They don't have anybody over there, right?
No.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that, for me, I mean, you know, you and your promoter, I mean, why is your promoter trashing you? You know what I mean? Like, why is your promoter? Because he says, he's still crying about this. You know, get over it. You know, get over what? That, like, you and none of the promoters were at the none of the promoters were at the press conference afterwards because you got a death threat. Shut up! You
and
got
here's
a
the
death
other
threat.
Thing.
Come on.
Here's the other thing too. He's constantly like putting information out there that's not true. Like he's like tweeting out, working on a fight with Manny Pacquiao.
No, you're not.
Like,
nobody wants to see that.
No, you're
fight.
Not.
Nobody's
like,
watching
Ryan's
that
like,
fight.
Ryan's like, what are you talking about? You know. A lot of the mistakes he made with Canelo Alvarez, he's making with Ryan Garcia. And we saw what happened with the Canelo Alvarez situation. So this guy hasn't learned from his mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you're my promoter. Don't take pics with the other fighters. I agree. Unless you're trying to court Raleigh to come over, why are you taking pictures with this dude? You know what I mean?
I guess he was saying that, I'm trying to hype up a fight between you and Raleigh or make a fight, whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get him either, man. I don't get him either. But I don't know how many fights Ryan Garcia's got left on that contract. But yeah, he really, I consider just getting out of there. You know,
he's got to think of his future. Yeah. Is he gonna go anywhere with Golden Boy? That's what you have to ask yourself if you're Ryan Garcia. Where am I gonna go with this company?
So this next one, Beeb, baffles me. I don't know. You know, how could you get so lucky and be so stupid at the same time? You know what I mean? We thought this dude, Gervonta Davis, was going to jail for at least 6 months. He got some kind of gift over there that put him on probation for what, 9 months, 6 months, or
house arrest for 90 days, and then probation for 6 months or a year or something like that. But he had 90 days. All he had to do was stay in the house.
That's all you had to do. Trainer's house. A dude you know. You know what I mean? You could order cable. You could do whatever you want. You order pizza. You do whatever. You could train. I'm sure he's got a gym there. Whatever you want.
Instacart.
You got, you know.
Uber Eats.
Right.
Netflix. You know?
Everything you could possibly want, right?
You can go in the backyard.
You can hit the mitts. What are you doing? You know? And listen, man, I haven't seen his trainer's house, but, I mean, he is his trainer's, you know, he's his tank's trainer. So you got to think maybe, you know, his house is a little bit better than average, you know. Maybe not as quite as nice as Gervonta's house, but a little better than average, you know. Because he's, you know, he's a champion, he's training champions and everything. So just days into serving his sentence for house arrest, Davis decides. Now, I heard this from Setback News, so take this with a grain of salt. I don't know. But Davis decides that his coach's house is too small for him. This part is all true. And he decides to rent a room. Now, this part I don't know for a fact, but this is what I heard. I believe it was on Setback's channel. He decided to rent a room at the Four Seasons Hotel. And if it's not Setback's channel, I apologize. I heard it somewhere. But he went for at the Four Seasons Hotel, Beeb. Have you ever stayed at a Four Seasons Hotel?
No.
I haven't either. But I know they're like, you know, $400 or $500 a night hotel. You're not staying, you know.
I stayed at the Ritz-Carlton before, though.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? All right, man.
Laguna Niguel, man. Beautiful.
Nice, man. Nice. You know, listen, I've never been in the Four Seasons. I heard it's fancy. I heard it's, you know, they got all the amenities there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So rather than say it's your coach's house for 90 days, you said, bump that, I'm going to go stay here at the Four Seasons or wherever it is you decided to stay, all right? So that's what he did. So typically, you know you're breaking house arrest when you leave the house, right? You know this. I've never been under house arrest, and even I know the rules because it says right in the title, house arrest, what the rules are, house arrest. You're not leaving the house, right? You're not leaving, son. Haplotype says Four Seasons is nice, similar to the Ritz. There you go.
Yeah, very similar.
You know, so the judge threw him in jail and said, you're going to serve out the remainder of your sentence in jail because you violated house arrest like an idiot. So, yeah, right? Yeah, D-Style, thank you so much. He said, coach's house is better than a jail cell. Absolutely. I don't care where your coach was living, how he was living. Trust me, it's better than a jail cell. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the judge threw him in jail, said you're going to serve out the remainder of your 90 days in jail. All right. So apparently he calls, I guess, you know, you get the phone privileges in jail. He calls his boy because there's no, you know. So they record this and then record the conversation and put it on Instagram or social media or wherever they put it. You know, somewhere on social media, they recorded the conversation. This is what Davis had to say. Quote, this judge is crazy, dog. Basically, I bought a property. I did everything in my power to listen to my lawyers. She's mad that I bought a property. That's why I'm sitting in jail. She said she wanted me to be in an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, and my kids couldn't come visit me and things like that, Davis said. I just wanted to shed light on the situation because I feel like she's taking advantage of me and how she's doing stuff that's not right to me. The things that she's doing now is just not right, so I had to shed light on this situation. Are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? You know how we were talking about Robbie just said, you know, somebody said they were wondering if Teofimo was suffering from, you know, getting punched too much and everything. Maybe he's gotten punched in the head too much. Are you serious? You can't understand why she's mad at you. You can't understand that you violated the law. You don't understand that.
This is what happens when you're never held accountable for doing things wrong.
100%. 100%.
We were talking about this months ago. And what did people do? They came in and they yelled at us. Why are you giving them a hard time? Why are you being a hater? Blah, 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 blah. They were all jumping all over us, right? And this is what happens when you don't hold someone accountable for their actions, right?
Yeah.
Because they'll continue to keep doing things wrong if they know they're going to continue to get away with it. And they have people like you guys, the fans out there who support this. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're just being – I'm not happy about this happening. Like, what benefit do I have if this happens? All I'm saying is you can't allow someone like Tank to go out and hurt people and not punish them for it. There's got to be some course of action in place to prevent this guy from doing things wrong. He's out there doing hit and runs. He's out there hitting people at ATM machines. And all he's doing is keep fixing. He can just pay out a settlement and it's done. Right? There's no accountability. There's no accountability. He needs to be held accountable to make him stop doing these things. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I don't understand it, man. Centurion said he had to share a bed with the coach. Who cares? Now you're sharing a bed with some dude in the cell. What do you think is better?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm gonna full transparency here. I this is what I heard. This is what I heard on a YouTube channel. So as far as him, you know, renting the Four Seasons or whatever, whether that's true or not, I don't know. All I know is he did violate the terms of his probation. If it was to go to a hotel, you're an idiot. All right. The fact that you violated it anyway, you're an idiot. You know, no question about it.
And then he's out buying $3.4 million condominiums and stuff. While he's on house arrest.
Right. You know. Just a complete idiot. And, like, to say you don't know what he did wrong, he's like, well, I couldn't see my kid. He was trying to tell me I couldn't see my kids. You're on house arrest. Do whatever they tell you. Now you can have your kids come to the Baltimore jail and see you. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be able to spend the night with you.
I find it hard to believe that the kids couldn't come visit him at the apartment.
Of course.
I don't know.
Like, give me a break.
Like I said, I don't take pleasure in seeing anyone go through stuff like this, but the guy does it to himself.
You know what, though? You know what? I don't like when people don't go through justice. You know, when they do something wrong and they don't have to pay for it. They don't have to be held accountable for it. I'm not talking paying monetarily. I'm talking you are held accountable for it. Because money doesn't solve all the problems. You know?
Equal application of justice for all.
Yes.
That's simple.
That's it.
That's simple.
That's it. You
know? I
don't
have to figure out.
That's it. You're right. You're 100% right. Eric Grimey says, Tank's got to grow up. Heyman needs to tell him to shut up now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the other thing. So you're going to post this, that the judge is against you on social media. Great move. Great move. You moron. Seriously, where are his people in this? And that idiot who recorded the conversation and put it up. You know, listen, doesn't that like, shouldn't you as his friend be like, man, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Maybe you ought to cool off. And we're going to do Tuesday. If you feel like this Tuesday, I'll post it. But I think maybe we should really think about this first. You know what I mean? Like, where is that at?
That's true.
Maestro, that's a very good point. Translation, my ego doesn't allow my family members to see me in a one-bedroom apartment. Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect. I don't understand it, Babe.
And the guy's got kids too, man. I hope he's going to be there for his kids, man. When his kids grow up and stuff, he's going to be there. I hope he doesn't continue to get in trouble.
Well, again, let's hope he's teaching them better than what he's showing in the public eye right now.
I'm saying, right?
I mean, you know, you want them better than you are, you know, so maybe
this
act
is the
like
example. This is the example he's setting for his kids.
Because what he's saying to his kids right now, what he's saying to everybody else is, I don't have to be responsible to anybody.
Yeah.
And that if I get wrong, you know, and that if they do something to me, they just don't like me. You know, there's some kind of animosity there.
Always somebody else.
Always somebody else.
Nothing that I'm doing. It's always the world is out to get me.
Right. Eric Grimey says, trust Heyman is pissed. Trust me, I know this. Yeah, you know what? I'd be pissed too if I was Heyman. You know, because the guy can't shut up. And him lashing out at the judge like that, that can't be good either. You know? I don't get it. So, Beeb, I'm gonna hand the baton off to you here, man. Alexander Usyk signed a new promotional deal this week with the Saudi-based Skills Challenge. His new promoter is based in Saudi Arabia. Beeb, why is this such a big deal?
Well, because when you have promoters like Bob Arum and Eddie Hearn openly saying, we can't compete with that money that the Saudis are paying fighters. And now you got the heavyweight champ of the world, unified heavyweight champ of the world that holds three of those belts, who's always been the B-side, right? Because he's never had that financial backing, right? He's never had that support from a big-time promoter. He's never had that network deal, right? So now he signed up with the biggest entity in boxing right now when it comes to being able to pay fighters, right? They have the largest amount of resources, because if you think about it, this is Prince Khalid who owns this promotional company, Skills Challenge, and he's got Amir Abdullah running it for him, right? Who's the spokesperson. And they're being subsidized by the government, right? So think about this. It's when PBC had that from that asset company, Waddell & Reed, when they first got that $434 million. And they were basically doing time buys with these networks. And because they had $434 million, they got that all in one lump sum, and they could do whatever they want with it, right? And you had Bob Arum, Top Rank, and you had Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy. They were accusing PBC of starting a monopoly because they couldn't compete with that amount of resources. Well, now you're in another situation. This is a little bit different because certain fights won't work over there because of the time zone. Obviously, Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford could not work over there because, you know, people in America who are going to be paying for that pay-per-view, they won't be able to watch it because they're 7 hours ahead. So when you have like certain fights like from the UK and certain fights from Eastern Europe or whatever, those are the fights that are probably going to more than likely go over there, right? But when you look at this now, finally now, Usyk's got leverage. Because when you do a deal with Skills Challenge, right, each fighter gets their own deal separately. So the other fighter doesn't know what the other fighter's getting, right? So now finally, Usyk's got leverage because he's got the backing of a very, very powerful promotional company in Skills Challenge. No one has the resources that they have. So now, when this situation with Fury, Oleksandr Usyk is no longer the B-side. He's no longer going to be pushed around, right? You don't worry about my split anymore. They got me over here, right? They got me over here, right? And don't worry about what I'm making. My contract is my contract. You do your separate. They're going to give you your contract separately. And Bob Arum said, we can't compete anyway. So Bob Arum is going to sit on the sidelines. Frank Warren's going to sit on the sidelines. They'll take their cut after Tyson Fury gets paid. But what this means is now we got a new player in the game, right, who are openly admitting we're paying premium price. Look up the word premium in the dictionary. You know what that means? We're paying over market value for something,
right,
more than it's worth. Right then and there, they're telling you that if we want to make a fight, we are prepared to open the vault, empty out the chest, and just dump the suitcase of money on the table for anyone, right, if they want the fight. And let's talk about that $434 million that PBC got from Walt Allen Reed. Think about this. Numbers have been thrown out there for Wilder versus Joshua and Fury versus Usyk, how they talked about having those two fights on the same night. And it was rumored that each fighter would be getting $100 million, right? So that would wipe out what PBC got over they got $434 million, and I think they took 3 years to spend that. These Saudis are putting up almost as much as that in one night. So this is huge. And another thing too is when you got a company like Skills Challenge who does not rely on a broadcast deal to function because they're being subsidized by the government, right? So they're going to be selling the rights fees to these events to Sky or whoever they want. If it's a U.S. broadcaster, maybe ESPN, ESPN Plus, whatever, right? So they're free to do whatever they want and sell these rights to whoever they want because they're not dependent on a network deal. Like most promoters are dependent on a network deal. Like Bob Arum is dependent on that ESPN deal, right? That's they're paying Bob Arum to pay the fighters, right? They're paying for the rights fees for the fights. And Bob Arum has to give them exclusivity. He owes them a specific amount of fights. Eddie Hearn owes DAZN a specific amount of fights as well. And he's getting the money from DAZN in which he pays the fighters. Skills Challenge, they're not worried about a broadcaster or a network. They're being subsidized straight from the government. Think about that. They have a bottomless pit that they can dig from, yep. Right? This isn't like Watt Allen Reed. Once the money was gone, it was over. Yep. Government money never goes. That country's never going to run out of oil.
That country,
right?
is one of the richest country on earth. I mean, they really are. I mean, what you can't compete with that kind of money. You can't compete with the money either. And
so,
go ahead.
Specific fights like Fury Usyk, Joshua Wilder. No one's going to be able to outcompete them. Now, once again, they can't really do a Benavidez Canelo, or they can't really do a Crawford Spence because the time won't work. Those are American based fights, but when you get someone like Tyson Fury, you know, who's UK based, whatever, you know, it works better. Now, could they do those fights?
Absolutely, could. We've seen it a million times. When a fight takes place overseas or something like that, if they want it at 10 o'clock here, they get it at 10 o'clock here, no matter what the time is here. Remember in Japan, where you show the fights at 9, it was like 9 a.m. there?
Yeah.
You know?
So what I'm saying is, in order to service the public, where they're going to get the most amount of eyeballs for an event,
yeah.
Like if they were to do Crawford Spence, because they're 7 hours ahead, They would have to start that at like 2 o'clock over here. You see what I'm saying? So it would take them out of prime time.
Let me ask you this though: they are promoters, no? So they could still do Crawford Spence and say they do it here because there's more money in it here. There's more eyeballs on it here. They're what the pay per view is going to pay. You know what I mean? People are going to pay them to stage the fight.
Sure, they could do that, but it's probably better for them to do it in Saudi because they create their own arenas and it's more cost effective and it's easier. They're more in control of the situation over there when they do the events over there. So when they bring the events over there, it's like they create these makeshift arenas in a couple weeks or whatever. And then they operate out of those arenas basically. So it's like they cut out the way they operate is they're cutting out all the middlemen.
Yeah.
And they're selling the fight, the rights fees, broadcasters, right? So they don't have to work with a casino or an arena. They're building these makeshift arenas themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just holding the fights there.
And they're like temporary arenas, right? They're not like
temporary arenas. Yeah.
Yeah.
So specific fights are going to be hard. Like where this is going to affect boxing the most is in the UK. The UK, I believe, will end up losing a lot of fights to Saudi because of the time zone. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be harder, like I said, because if they're primarily going to be staging the fights over there because they create their own arenas or whatever. It'll be harder for them to get some of these United States fights because of the time difference. But a lot of these UK fights, they'll be getting that. So how this impacts everything is no one's going to be able to bully Usyk. No one's going to be able to say what does he do? What does he draw? None of that matters anymore. None of that matters anymore because you have somebody that's willing to pay you, right, a substantial amount of money now, and you're not dependent on anyone else. So this is a game changer. So now Fury can't tell Usyk that he's the B-side. You take 30%. He can't make it. No one can push Usyk around anymore because now he's got the levers. This is like when Don Corleone walked into that casino and told Mo Green, how much does it cost to buy you out? Basically, I'm taking this fucking casino from you.
One way or the other, yeah.
This is what Usyk did, man. So you guys want to fuck with me, guess who I got now? I got the big dog. I got the big dog now, right?
The big move.
So my hat goes off. My hat goes off to Usyk. I'm happy for the guy. As big as a Fury fan as I am, this guy earned his respect. He's paid his dues. He deserves to be treated the way he's going to be treated now by the Saudis. He deserves to be paid a substantial amount of money, right? Because he's spent his whole career making concessions for everyone else. Even while he was the champion, he was the B-side in a lot of instances when he was cruiserweight champion, and he had to travel and go into other people's backyards. Now he's going to be the adopted son of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Now he's got, and then people are talking about, well, where did K2 Promotions get that money to win the purse bid for Dubois versus Usyk, right? Where'd they come up with that? How'd they outbid everybody? Put two and two together.
Go.
Saudi's co-promoting that event. Maybe they kicked the money over to K2. And why are they doing it in Poland? Poland's right there next to Ukraine, right? This is going to be like Usyk's homecoming fight.
Yeah.
Finally, this guy is getting this is going to be a fight for his people now. Right? Finally, this guy is getting the respect. This guy is finally getting a homecoming fight. Because obviously it can't be in Ukraine because of what's going on. But you got the next best thing in Poland.
Yep, right there.
Right there. So this is a boss move from Usyk. And my hat goes off to him, man.
Great move.
He deserves it.
Great move.
He deserves it.
And you broke it down perfect. You broke it down perfect, man. I got to be honest, man. That was perfect.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, man. It was like, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't. And after hearing you talk about it, yeah, it's like that's a no-brainer, man. And I'll tell you what, man, the Saudis, you're going to see more and more, not just boxing, you can see more and more sporting events go over there. You know, look at the golf. Golf is already going over there. Horse racing's big over there. You have, and now you got boxing over there. And they've got the money to do it.
And I'm going to take it one further, because a lot of people are making it political, the whole human rights thing. But here's my opinion on it. And again, you don't have to listen to me. This is just my opinion. We always talk about how, like, what's going on with Russia and the WBC with the whole Russian fighters thing.
Yeah.
We always say, let's not mix sports with politics, right? So once again, in this instance, let's not mix sports with politics, because this is a net positive for the fighters. This is a win for the fighters, right? So we can talk about the politics if you want. I mean, obviously, what is what is. But let's not mix the sport with politics. This is sport now. Now we can separate sport from politics, right?
Beep, if the Saudis called you and said, we want you to bring Ringside Reporter over to, you know, our area. I want you to do a live show. We're going to pay you $2 million for it. We're going to pay all the expenses for both of you guys to come out here. We're going to give you guys $2 million each. Come out here and do a show. What would you say?
Do it.
Of course we would do it.
Business is business.
Business is business.
We always like to say don't mix sport with politics when it's convenient,
right,
but not when it's with another country. Right? Not when it's with another country.
That's right. Louis brought up a good point. Won't be any women fights over there either, so you'll be happy. That was messed up, Beeb. Beeb, that was messed up. You shouldn't have went there. You shouldn't have went there. I mean, come on. Messed up sellouts. Sellouts.
That's the thing, man. So we always talk about let's not mix sport with politics. Okay, so let's not do it here either.
There you go.
Let's not do it here either.
There you go, man. There you go. Yeah, I don't like the WBC's policy. I don't. You're putting hardworking people out of work. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like it. It's not like they're on the front line.
At least in this instance, you can say whatever you want, and you can try to rationalize why they're doing it, whatever the case may be, but they're doing something good for the fighters. They're paying the fighters what they're worth. They're helping out fighters and athletes.
That's it. That, you know what?
They're doing it.
You know, now will they do more harm than good in the future of this? While people wanting these big payday's and not getting it, and we don't get the fights to happen. Listen, I don't know anything about that. I don't know. Could, maybe not. Who knows? But listen, that's what we have now.
In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the area that's going to take the biggest hit in this is the UK. I think a lot of UK fights will get lost to Saudi. I still think we'll have our mega events, right? Because certain fights, like Benavidez Canelo, it's just a Vegas fight. Crawford Spence is just a Vegas fight. Like, those are Vegas fights. And people talk shit about Showtime, but Garcia versus Davis already is in the top six highest grossing fights of all time. Like, Showtime has a 37 year history of doing this. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. I look at these networks and these broadcast platforms. I assess them like I assess an investment portfolio. Showtime is like my large cap index fund. Meaning, when it's a big super mega event and it's a big pay-per-view, like a Davis Garcia type level event, you want it on Showtime pay-per-view, right? That they just do big events very well, right? But then you have that mid-cap index fund, which is ESPN, ESPN Plus. They give you the Teofimo Lopez, Josh Taylor, Devin Haney. Those are great fights, but they're not like marquee mega events. So ESPN does a good job with that. DAZN is like my international index fund. Those UK fights that I'm not going to be able to see over here, I use DAZN for that.
Right.
So all of these platforms have a place, and certain fights work on certain platforms. It's that simple. So this whole pick and choose and this whole people arguing about, oh, well, the fight has to be on this. The zone's better than this. Blah, blah, blah. No, they're all good for their own in their own right for their own reasons, right? So that's just how I sum it up in a nutshell.
Yeah, Louis says that Saudi fights lack the atmosphere. Who cares? You remember the Tyson Douglas fight in Japan, and that's what they were saying. All the Japanese like were sitting on their hands. There was no emotion in the arena. Who cares? There's plenty of emotion at home watching it. I'll tell you that. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
I don't listen. They have fights at the Apex in Las Vegas for UFC, that empty arena that holds about 12 people. Nobody cares. You want to see the fight. Yeah. You're watching a fight. That's what you care about. You know what I mean? So there you go, man. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys next week. And once again, if you want to cash out Georgie, it's $PORGIEDJ. So $PORGIEDJ. So there you go. All right. And we will see you guys next week.